Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life, and that's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/android. And by LegalZoom, accomplish the things you need to get done and save 10% with LegalZoom's friends and family discount. Visit LegalZoom.com and enter AAA at checkout. Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode 373, recorded on Tuesday, June 12th, 2018. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
Hello, everybody, once again.
Hello, Moto.
Hello, friends.
What's up?
We have a new friend today, don't we?
We do. Actually, I'm super excited to welcome to the show Wen Tu Dao, who actually, like, I've been following online, and yeah. I know you've been following Wen as well, who is an Android developer at Trello, but also the other half of Android Dialogues on YouTube. How's it going, Wen?
Yes. It's going great. I'm really happy to be here. I've been a longtime fan, so this is really exciting for me.
Oh, right on. Oh, it's so great to get you on. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned in the first email when we finally kind of connected that you had followed Buzz Out Loud way back when. But I think kind of more obscure, the Android show that I did at CNET, which wasn't around for very long, but that was kind of the precursor.
It was so happy. It's like, you know, back then there wasn't a lot of Android media.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's just like, and it was still kind of tough to be an Android person back then. I feel like, you know, all that. Hate, and not hate is probably not strong, but it just wasn't, you know, that's just, we were the few and the proud back then. So I was really, really happy to see all the content you were doing back then.
Good old times.
Android Atlas Weekly was the name of that show.
I would like to go on the record that I am also an original Buzz Out Loud listener. Just for the record.
It's true.
And, no, honestly, Jason, it was eventually you, but listening to Tom and Molly in 2005 got me starting to podcasting. Like, that was what got me into it. It was an honor to work with Eileen and then with you. But I also listened to that CNET Android show because I was into it early on. And
right
then we came together.
That's so funny. That seems like so long ago at this point.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it kind of was, actually. It was the beginning of Android, really.
It was.
But, you know, Wen, we're just super thrilled to get you on. Tell us a little bit about kind of your time at Trello, because we've definitely talked about Trello on the show a number of times.
And used it in our own businesses.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about kind of what you do at Trello.
Well, I'm an Android developer at Trello, and I think I'm coming up my third year in September. But I'm just part of the team of, let me see, there's five of us now. But yeah, just working on that Trello Android client. Really excited. And we do, in case anyone is curious, we do use Trello at Trello.
I was literally about Trello. To manage a task via Trello. That's amazing. Okay, cool. Now here's the follow-up question. Do you get asked that a lot?
Oh yeah. Yeah, totally. And my favorite thing to say is that one time I was working on a bug and the card that the bug was on, I tested the bug on that card that the bug was on. So I don't know. It's like, super, super, super dog fooding or something. But it was like kind of like my most proudest moment. I was like, this is so awesome. I'm testing the bug on the card that describing the bug. So we do use Trello a lot.
When you're creating, you know, when you're responsible for a system that's all about managing projects and everything like that, if you are a company that does that and you aren't using your own project or product, you're probably doing it wrong. I have to imagine, like, you know what I mean? Like, you would then be in the best position possible to know whether it's effective and whether it works in those scenarios.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's kind of partly why we encourage, like, we continue to try to use it. I mean, like, we got bought by Atlassian, like, last year. And so the follow-up question is always like, oh, are you gonna start using Jira now? But I mean, part of working on Trello is using Trello. So,
yeah. Right on. I should also mention Atlassian, sponsor in the Twit Network.
Mm-hmm.
But this, you know, we kind of connected outside of that, and it's really great to get you on.
Yes, it's really great to be here.
Yeah, cool. Well, we got a lot to talk about. Actually, it's very, in some ways, it's very hardware heavy. Apparently, it's that time of year. But we've got other things to discuss. We're going to talk about the latest Android P developer preview that came out, of course, the day after last week's show. More Pixel 3 XL rumors, which this is really interesting. We kind of got the real deal, it seems like. Fochi, right? That's what it is. Fochi, we're going to take a first look at that. You got that in-house? Kind of a tracker.
Yeah, there's going to be some interesting results. We'll get to it.
All right. There's a new Essential mod, BlackBerry Key 2, Moto Z3 Play, LG Q Stylus. Apparently, there's a soccer app, not the one that you brought to the arena, Ron, that is spying on users.
Dodged a bullet.
Yeah, you dodged a bullet on that one.
We have to say that, though, because there have been a couple of apps we've brought into the arena. Me included. I've brought a couple of apps that were more than questionable.
Look, 373 episodes. Arena usually has 3 to 4 apps in it. Do the math.
I will say that given the examples that we've had of situations of apps doing sketchy things, I do now, when I'm evaluating apps, I go and find the developer, find their website, try to look at the comments to make sure that it's all on the up and up.
Yeah, make sure there aren't any big news article threads that have posted in the last 3 months that you just completely bypassed and missed altogether. It happens.
It does.
We deal with a lot of apps here. Before we get into the news, though, pre-show, we were talking about how Android P is really kind of on the near horizon. It's not very far away, and we'll talk about how much closer we are to it in a few minutes. But we haven't really done any sort of rumination on the show as to what the dessert that could possibly be, or if we maybe we have. I'd be really surprised if we haven't actually at this point, but I don't think that we have.
Given that, I think we threw names out, but given that we're on Developer Preview 3, I feel like we need to cement some predictions up on the whiteboard so that when it does get named, we can see who wins.
Oh, so we've got to commit to our decisions.
I think we need to commit tonight. That's my plan.
Well, okay. Okay. I will. Well, there's the obvious ones, right? Like, I feel like we keep hearing Pi.
Yes.
Pi is a big one, and that makes a lot of sense. Like, I could totally see the Pi shaped like an Android figure or something.
But, so the question is, there are so many varieties of Pi. Will they get specific? Yeah. Will it be like a pecan pie?
Oh, that would be even better.
Oh, alliteration.
Yeah. That's catchy. Or do they go the brand? Do they go Pop Rocks or Pop Tarts?
Wow, I didn't even think of that.
Or Pocky.
So last night I went to a restaurant and they had a creme brulee with poppycock, which I was like, well, what the heck is that? But it's basically caramel popcorn. Mm-hmm. It's a brand of caramel popcorn.
Poppycock.
That sounds like a branding mistake.
Yeah, that would be weird. Yes. But I will say creme brulee with poppycock was delicious. Anyways.
Do they go with like a beloved like Kleenex-like brand of, or name, something like a Popsicle?
Oh, Popsicle. Oh, I could totally see that. Wait, Popsicle is totally already the Android guy, right? Like if it's the
kind
two,
of is.
The
yeah.
two things with the legs down at the bottom, then you just have to throw some
sandwiches
on.
We already had ice cream sandwich.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to that. That's probably why it seems
What about like praline? That sounds kind of sophisticated. Praline, or is that going to be too obscure, like nougat?
Or pralines and cream.
Europe would love that.
Yeah.
Europe would also love pizzelle.
Wait a minute. Are you? Is this now? Are we into entrees, or is that a
no? Pizzelle is an Italian waffle cookie.
Oh,
it's a dessert. Yeah, it's a dessert.
Ooh. Oh,
that's what I was thinking of, and also purettes. I want to say like the little round cookies.
Oh, pirouettes. Yeah, pirouettes. Those the chocolate inside. Those are great. If we want to go Italian, if we want to go Mediterranean, I have to put in I can't even pronounce it, but profiterole.
Profiteroles.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Ooh, I'm going to go look at pictures of that right now.
That's going to be hard for people to pronounce. Profiteroles would be hard for some of the people out there to pronounce, but then so was nougat, nougat, whatever you want to call it.
All right, well, we can't do this all night. I'm ready to make my pick.
Oh, man, I don't know if I am.
Okay. I'm going to lock mine in. I'll go first. I'm going to say parfait.
Parfait.
Oh, that'd be a cute Android character.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. All right.
All right. Flo, what do you think?
I mean, I know this is lame, but not lame or whatever, but pecan pie.
Yeah, or pie or something. I mean, Oreo was the early... like I feel like there were a lot of people bandying about Oreo cookie and myself
and
included shooting it down, going they wouldn't do the branded thing
and
again. And
happened.
Besides, they'd never confirm it way ahead of time. And look what happened. Exactly.
Yep.
So now we've been eating Oreos weekly for the last.
We got basically one quarter Oreo at this point after this whole experience.
You can't predict what they're going to do. Nobody would have saw Nougat coming.
Yeah, so. That's true. Yeah. I wish Nougat had not happened. It was not very fun to eat. But anyways, Wen, what do you think?
I really like pecan pie because alliteration. I think it's got a nice ring to it. But I'm going to go with profiterole. Just because it's got a nice like rhythm to it. I like it.
Yeah. Who doesn't want a cream puff?
Elegant.
No. I just want to hear everybody trying to stumble over it like me. All right, Jason.
I don't know. I mean, pie would be the obvious way to go.
Peanut brittle?
Peanut brittle would be interesting, but I don't know. I don't see that happening. What about pancake?
All right.
Oh, God. Are they going to pull an IHOB?
Oh, no.
Good point. You know what? I reserve the right to change my mind because I haven't actually given this true thought, but I'm going with pancake today because that would be all a cool
one. I like that. A stack of pancakes as an Android statue?
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
I'm really hoping they just announce this tomorrow so that these are our entries. But yes, we can revisit these and you can change them up until. So.
All right. Yeah. For now, we've locked parfait, pecan pie, profiterole, and pancake. It's a whole lot of alliteration. And maybe we've given Victor plenty of ammunition for the news. Let's do it.
I'm not even going to try to guess the next name for Android News. I'm just going to stick with the original Android News.
Original.
That's a safe bet.
If you want to get the original joke, tune in at the end of the show on the video to hear to watch the bonus Oreo segment because Linus is the best.
Nice tease, yes, Linus is the best.
You
do not want to miss this one. It's very different, very awesome. So last Wednesday, as Google loves to do, Google began to push out Android P Developer Preview 3. A day after the show, so we couldn't talk about it the day before. I wonder what they're going to announce tomorrow. But anyways, some new changes or some new glimpses into this that we get as a result. First of all, this is officially, unless anyone had any doubt, which I didn't, this is officially version 9. So they're not doing the thing that they did, I think, with Jelly Bean, where they do a point release, even though it's a major release.
That was confusing.
It was confusing.
For consumers.
I think it was Jelly Bean anyways. So version 9 is carrying an API level 28. This release actually contains the final APIs and SDK. So developers can now get busy with confidence on, you know, making their apps Android P compatible. Things are kind of locked into place more or less. Some of the new kind of features that are bubbling up, quick reply for bundled notifications, which I've definitely seen and interacted with. That's really nice. The emoji, apparently 157 new emoji being rolled in there, including a number that are aimed at broader diversity and inclusion, that sort of stuff.
Redheads and ballheads.
Yep.
And silver foxes, as I like to call them.
Gender neutral. And there's just a number of inclusive emoji throughout. They've shortened the gesture thing was kind of contentious, and I've definitely fallen into that category in my experience with it. The main thing being when you're swiping up from the bottom to go to the app drawer, which I can show really quick, even though I'm on the new version, if you cut here, they've basically shortened the distance. Probably don't want to look at that. They've shortened the distance in order to get to the app drawer. So let me do one thing here. It's like my recents are all messages, so let me get rid of them. just to be safe. All right, cool. There we go. All right. Thank you. All right, so it used to be that in order to get to the app drawer, you had to swipe all the way up in order to make it happen, and if you didn't, it would kind of chunk out and it wouldn't happen.
It would chunk out.
And it still kind of does that, like especially if you're one-handed. It doesn't quite get there.
Oh, that bothers me. Watching you do that is giving me the hibbity-jibbies.
I just want the app drawer, but no, I can't.
That's really
so I still end up having to do two. They've shortened it, but in my opinion, it's not quite enough for one-handed use, and that continues to be annoying to me. It's also a little smoother in its approach. On the previous one, it would kind of like snap to the recents and then snap to the app drawer. It's a little bit smoother now. I mean, I don't know how many people are going to notice that, but I definitely did. They also added some onboarding for gestures, which they would need to do once it hits consumers.
I'm going to be really confused.
And then new biometric prompt API that has support for face and iris authentication, which basically means that you can now rely on a system dialog instead of what developers have been doing, which is kind of building their own. You're nodding, Wendy. Do you know about this kind of security stuff within the new?
No, I haven't tried it too much yet. We haven't fingerprinted your boards yet on Trello. Although I think someone actually did a prototype of it, but yeah, no, I haven't had a chance to try it yet, but I'm actually kind of curious to see what improvements they have.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it when things are fingerprinted on apps. Just
that's the best. I'm so used to it.
I love logging into my bank account like boop boop. I have no money.
if you're going to tell me I have no money, at least make it easy.
They really did.
That's the small sliver of sunshine.
The funny thing is that like it makes sense. Like the banking apps totally make sense. But like I literally want it to use for login for every app.
Yes.
Like I want it to be universal across the board. You know, like
smart lock.
Oh, it'd be great. Yeah. App level would be amazing.
Yeah. So. And then. Should remind that according to the dev preview timeline that we saw a couple of months ago, so this is DP3, dev preview 4, which is the release candidate for testing, is expected by the end of the month, according to that timeline. DP5, which is the release candidate for final testing, expected shortly before Q3, and then a final release of Android P, whatever dessert it happens to be, in Q3. So I'm curious, when to ask you, as far as Trello is concerned, when it comes to Android development, and obviously these beta, you know, releases, these dev preview releases, mm-hmm. are really primarily designed so that developers like you guys have what you need ahead of the official release, so you can make the changes and tweaks that would be required to kind of reach that new API level and have full support for the new version. Is this the point with a release like this where you guys get in, or have you already gotten in by this time?
Yeah, so that's a really great question. So normally, as soon as the first developer preview comes out, especially being at a place like Trello where we have several million users, there's always going to be that one person that, you know, installs it on their driver and on good years say, oh, okay, well, there's this small bug and that small bug. And on bad years, we'll have, okay, my app doesn't work anymore. And so generally, like some of us, I think one of my coworkers actually installed one of the earlier previews at Trello on his daily driver at like IO. Mm-hmm. But like as a whole, we generally tend to wait just because the APIs are changing. And we do have like that time of year where it's time for us to kind of buckle down and make sure that we're compatible with P. Or whatever the release that year. So like I think now is when we're actually going to do it. The final API is when we're like, all right, we got to get it in gear. This is kind of as close as it's going to be before it actually comes out. So yeah, we're planning to rev it up pretty soon.
Yeah.
To do like full support.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I installed it. I got the push notification since they're doing the kind of easy beta update now, which is awesome. I end up getting that push notification. I'm considering wiping my phone clean and starting fresh with it, which is what they usually say is a really good idea. Sometimes there's legacy crud that kind of collects in there, and it's probably a good idea, especially when you're dealing with dev previews where so much changes on the back end. It can really kind of potentially make things, you know, just a little bit less.
On that topic, I'm not doing the dev preview because I never do the dev preview. I let you do it because I need my phone for day-to-day triage and that sort of stuff. But I absolutely need to wipe and reload my phone because I'm getting random reboots.
Oh.
And I don't know why. And I just don't have the time or the patience or the inclination to go through it all because I got to back up everything and then it seems like a pain. So I'm afraid.
Yeah.
It is a pain.
Sometimes you know what I do in that situation? I just go into settings and I hit factory wipe and I hit OK and I just don't think about it. And then I'm like, oh, I guess I'll find out what I'm missing out on. It's true. Life does go on. You might encounter that one thing that you lost as a result, but rarely do I ever.
I have to tell myself that because I'm so resistant to factory resetting as well. It's because of what Ron said. It's such a pain. There's no like.
But you know what? Google's made things a lot easier on the restore side.
Ish.
I feel like more and more. I mean, way more now than, you know, 8 years ago. Like it was such a pain.
Oh God! Don't even talk to me about two years ago.
Yes, I know exactly. They've made some really recent changes that thankfully make it a lot easier. You go through the resetup process, and it's like, do you want to use your backup from this phone from like 2 weeks ago? And you're like, well, that's
smart lock really helps
too.
And it
just all populates.
Oh my gosh.
Or smart pass. Wait, am I talking about the wrong thing? Ah, there's so many smart things. It's the one where they store your passwords. Google stores your password.
Yeah, smart lock.
Yeah, smart lock. Really helps. And
it's really handy when you're developing too.
How so? Explain that.
Oh, like especially with like Trello, a lot of times I am like in the process of developing, I have to actually just wipe it completely. There's no updating. And so with SmartLock, and Trello has SmartLock enabled, instead of having to go through the rigmarole of like logging back in, I just reinstall and then boop, I'm back to like my boards and everything. So it's actually sped up my development process as well. So thanks for that, Google. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a little
strange. I have to say, I think it was the OnePlus 6 that I was the most recent phone that I set up from scratch to review.
That was so easy.
And I went through it, and not only did it install all the apps, but some of the apps I was already kind of logged in. It was almost too good to the point where I was like, oh, wait a minute, maybe that's a bad idea. Like, how am I suddenly logged into all these things already? Like, I didn't even have to go through that process.
Did you notice, by the way, that it allowed you to load the Pixel launcher? The OnePlus 6.
Oh.
That's like one of the few phones that's allowed me to restore from the Pixel launcher.
Oh,
like I wasn't able to do it on the LG V30. The Samsung Galaxy S9 Plus, which I just set up, didn't ask me for that.
Huh.
Yeah.
So that's stored in Google's cloud
Reason, the OnePlus 6 in particular like allows me access to that save point.
Oh, that's
which is what
nice.
I call them now. I'm going to call them save points.
Yeah, that works. It's a good gaming reference.
Yes.
It ties
and
in.
And E3, you know, is this week, so.
Yeah. Celebrate finally. With the terminology.
Yes.
Okay. All right. You've got the next story, Flo.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of stuff about the Pixel 3. There's a lot of stuff, and I'm getting a wave of questions like, should I wait or not? To which I'm like, you should probably wait, because yes, it's like, what, 5-6 months, but it'll be worth the wait, I think, at this point. So Pixel rumor season has really gone into full force. We've got exclusives from XDA developers, Android Police. We've got Forbes going in on the news. So what we've got so far is XDA member Mraz9000, if I'm saying that correctly, posted photos of a Google Pixel 3 XL prototype, codenamed Crosshatch, which I looked up before the show, and it is in fact the name of a fish. It's the Crosshatch Triggerfish, which runs for about $1,200 if you want to buy it. Just
you can buy a fish for $1,200?
Yes, it's an exotic fish. So probably as much as the Pixel 3 XL is going to cost when it comes out.
What do you want, a fish or a phone?
I mean, you can. One of them will retain its value.
Yeah, look at that, $1,200.
Yeah, see? And apparently you can buy a fish on the internet.
It's a beautiful fish.
Creeps me out. It is a really beautiful fish.
Put the link in the talk. Oh, there we go.
Look at there. Look at that.
Dang.
That's a beautiful fish.
I hope the Pixel 3 XL looks like that fish.
I hope so, too. I hope it's just as stunning.
Can we start measuring phone value in fish?
Yes. How many exotic fish is that phone? How much is that phone in fish?
I mean, Google's been doing it all this time, codenaming every phone after a fish.
Yeah.
We've confirmed, or the internet has confirmed thus far, some previous rumors, including display notches, which... come on, we all saw that coming from miles away.
Yep.
Dual front-facing camera sensors, etc., kind of all the stuff we've been talking about. But what's also been revealed through this little rumor mill is that there is a 4 gigabyte, 128 gigabyte storage. So 4 gigabyte of RAM, 128 gigabyte of storage model running Snapdragon 845. Hmm. It's confirmed that it has a full glass backing. No confirmation if this means wireless charging capability or not, but we've been living this long without it that I just kind of feel like it's not really a part of this family of devices.
But I mean, if this is their first with a full glass backing, that would seem to set up for the possibility. It certainly eliminates the blocking of an aluminum back that would make that more difficult.
True, true.
That'd be a nice feature add.
The rumor mill photos show a strange logo on the back. So that picture that we were just showing up on the screen, that's not a G. That's something you'd see like on an off-brand AliExpress phone. I don't know what that
always
is.
Always back to AliExpress. There it is.
Yes. But Google did publish this January an image of Pixel 2 prototypes, and one of them had that logo. So it could very possibly be the faux logo.
Yeah, and credit to 9to5 Google, who was what kind of discovered that post from January, and sure enough, there's like 20 phones out on a table. One of them has that logo exactly. So it's like, okay, well, then that's probably legit.
Thus far, there have been a couple of complaints about the height of the notch as well.
Because we all like to complain about things, don't we?
Yes. You got to complain about the notch. The height, the width, the everything about
the notch.
We're
going to scrutinize the notch.
I mean...
Where do you stand on the notch?
Oh my gosh, I wish it would just die.
I wish
it was funny because I remember going to I/O and seeing that they had APIs now to that let you know the dimensions of the notch, and I just thought to myself, okay, all right, we're in this world now. And for me, it's kind of a selfish thing where, you know, I'm the kind of person that has about a billion like notification icons across the screen. And even with like, you know, bundled notifications, everything, I kind of need to see everything there. And so it's weird to me just to have this notch there where you're just reducing space for the notification icons. No one's going to be able to ever reach me because I'll just have no idea that that I'm getting notifications anymore. I also just think aesthetically, it's just not my thing. I just don't understand why we just don't have like slightly bigger bezels and then just very nice kind of like clean lines at the top and the bottom. I just don't understand.
Yeah.
Or no bezels. Let's go no bezels.
Or no bezels.
Come on. Yeah, thank you.
I do have to say I echo that sentiment about the notifications appearing up in the status bar because we're not changing that interface paradigm. So that's kind of how we're still interacting with notifications, even with bundled notifications, even with notification to every other little notification thing Google's trying to introduce into Android. There still is that old usage pattern that now it just feels more crowded by the notch.
Yeah, and I will say that in the new version of Android P, even if you don't have a notch, what we're getting used to is the fact that everything is repositioned anyways in the UI. And it's hard for me to show off on my phone right now because I don't have enough notifications up there for it to do
you?
It. But nah, it's all good. I mean, it basically, whether you have a notch there or not, the new version of the Android OS makes room for it. You know what I mean? So... on old versions of Android, this would just get, you know, string out to the very edge with all of your notifications if you had enough to fill that. And now you kind of get this little ellipses. It's like it goes to a certain point and then it says, you've got more. Like, you've got so many that we can't possibly show them
that
here, so pull it
down. That would give me anxiety. I already get anxiety when it's all the way across the screen and you see the ellipses. But now to have the ellipses come so soon.
It's too soon, ellipses.
I'm going to monitor my stress levels with this. I think I need to, like, monitor them day by day and see how it feels because a lot of notifications, it's still a lot.
Yeah.
Notifications is still not a problem, but still a usage thing that's being figured out, I think, by both Apple and Android.
Everybody has a different, you know, way that they approach their notifications.
Yeah.
You guys have made fun of me many times for how many notifications I keep there.
But that's real
because
life.
I use it
but
as to
do. That's real life. You know? That's real life.
It's like, I haven't dealt with this thing yet, so I'm not going to swipe it away. I want it to be there as a constant reminder to stress me out all day. Basically.
It's real life.
Yeah, that's life. Anyways, I reorganized the emails a little bit and gave you a different one, Ron, because this totally applies.
It.
Go for it.
I agree. I totally agree with you. I agree with the adjustment here. So Cubsman wrote in, whatever your real name is, Cubsman.
That's his real name.
He said, all I heard from Android folks, your show, and I listened to tons of other Twit/other podcasts. When the iPhone X came out, iPhone 10, whatever, I don't care. iPhone X came out, quote, the notch, all I heard was the notch is stupid. What's the point? Now with the newest Google iPhones, including the anticipated Pixel 3 XL, are all making a notch. It's A-okay. No problems with the notch. And nobody mocking the iPhone X any longer. Is everyone just a hypocrite in the tech media? Or just don't expect people like me will remember what was said in the past? Cubsman is very angry.
Yeah.
He says, seemed like iPhone X had a legitimate reason with Face ID sensors for an extra notch and still got mocked early on. Said it looked ugly, couldn't get past it. Why the double standard? I hear no bad references from the Android community any longer since all those phones now have it. P.S. I am an iOS guy. Absolutely. But we'll have to know you. I've watched every single episode of All About Android, so also a longtime supporter.
Yes, and thank you, Cubsman.
Thank you. I hope we infuriate you on a weekly basis with our opinions, but I would like to say that we were talking about notches before the iPhone X came out.
Yeah, it's true.
And I don't believe we've ever been pro-notch.
I mean, I can speak from my own perspective, is that I've come around to a point where I don't really care about the notch.
I'm with you.
You've been using it, though.
I have been using it, and part of that comes from just using it and getting used to it. But the other part of that is, like, as a community, we got to understand that, like, we're asking for, like, competing things. If what we want is display to the edge, then there will need to be concessions made in order to make that happen as the technology stands right now. So if you still want your cameras up there so it's not weird that you're taking a picture up your nostril because it's down on the bottom of your phone, then you probably need a notch if you also want the display to hit up to the very top. Until they figure out some sort of display technology that puts a camera behind it, it puts those sensors behind the display so it can still go to the edge, like that's just kind of what you're going to get. And in using it on a regular basis, I've kind of gotten to the point where it really doesn't bother me. Maybe I'm just used to it, desensitized, but early on, I was very anti-notch. You know, I thought it kind of looked weird and dorky.
I think you are desensitized.
And I think I'm just desensitized at this point. And so I don't think it's hypocritical necessarily. It's just like opinions change and they evolve through experience.
They do.
That's my, they do. My feeling.
And the internet is an emotional place.
That's true.
You know, and Twitter allows for instant reacting of things, and blogging allows for instant reacting of things, and the instant reaction to this is, oh dear goodness, there's a huge change coming, and we were not expecting this.
The other alternative, and I just put in a link at the bottom of this email, Victor, the other alternative is to take the display to the very edge, like the Vivo Nex, which was previewed a couple of days ago, I think.
So I got to give Etched Vinyl on Twitter credit for shouting out to me earlier that we're, you know, a little one step closer to my bezel-less future that I want.
Yeah.
But what I love about this phone is if you scroll down, if you wonder, okay, well, if there's no, oh wait, scroll down. I'm sorry, I didn't know where you were on the page. If you wonder, there's such a thin bezel. Where is the front-facing camera? Well, wonder no more. Keep scrolling. There it is.
Right.
Out of the top.
Elegant.
Now that is innovation and ingenuity right there.
Is it?
No.
I don't know.
Will it pop up as quickly as the double tap of the power button fires up the camera? Because that's important to me.
Oh, that's a good point, right? Yeah. Snap up, well, camera on.
As someone who barely ever uses a front-facing camera, I think that's a great solution. And look how small that bezel is, guys.
Someone's going to stab themselves.
Yeah. Someone's going to what?
Stab themselves with that camera.
Yeah, the camera looks like kind of dangerous.
Or like those edges snap off, like if you drop it the wrong way.
Like I have a hard time, and I realize we do not have this in hand, so it's impossible to make this like determination. But I have a hard time understanding how that camera can pop out and in and it not feel in the slightest bit kind of like cheap and wobbly. Maybe they've made it so that it's like the most solid, tight piece of hardware ever, and it changes my mind when I have it in hand. But right now, that's what I fear.
I think it's great.
Of course you do.
I'm on board Vivo Nex. Let's do it.
What do you think, Wen? Is this the solution? Is this if you don't like the notch, is this a good alternative?
I applaud them for innovation. I think that's what we need to find different solutions. But like I said, like, and also, I don't know, this is like a thing with women and pockets. Like, this is kind of like parental complaint that women don't have big enough pockets. So as someone who has a Pixel 2 XL, I barely get my phone in my pocket anyway. And I can imagine just like leaving that up. And then now I'm going to have a hole in my pocket. And at some point, my phone is just going to start like digging its way through my pants. I appreciate the concept, but I agree with you. I worry about quality and also just the usability of that. Like it just things sticking out of things. And I don't know, but I mean, they keep making phones larger. Isn't the 3 XL going to be like 6.3 inches now? I mean, I understand the bezel-less, like the bezel-lessness, the dream of the bezel-lessness, but I figure if you're going to make my phone another 0.3 inches taller, can you please just let me have a nice, like long, like rectangular screen and just leave the cameras and the sensors where they are? That's like another thing. If there's any like additional sensors, where are you going to put those?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, are those the kinds of things that you can hide in the existing bezel? Because there's a little bit of bezel there, but I doubt it. I mean, that kind of electronics that close to the edge. I don't know if Vivo is going to do it.
we're inching ever closer. We're millimetering ever closer.
It always starts somewhere.
Yeah, it's got to start somewhere.
It's got to start somewhere. If it has to start with a little drawer that holds your camera.
Exactly.
People break it off and they figure out people are breaking it off. We should figure something else out. Yeah. And then eventually they just put it behind the glass and then you just don't know it's there. And then
we'll forget this whole era ever existed.
And then eventually we'll have Ron's idea of the Expanse phones.
Yeah.
Which is the Expanse's idea, not mine. But yeah, sure.
We'll give you credit, Ron.
I'm gonna give you credit.
I'll take it.
So all credit given to Ron.
I don't know the people at expands.
All right, let's take a break and thank the sponsor of this episode. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. The mortgage experience wasn't keeping up with the times. If you've gone through the process before, you know that. It's not the easiest thing in the world. It needed a client-focused technological revolution, and that's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence that you need when it comes to buying a home or even refinancing your existing home loan. It's simple. It allows you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. It's convenient. Their trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button, so you know right away. It's super easy to use. It's powerful. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in seconds. Based on your income, your assets, your credit, Rocket Mortgage can analyze all of the home loan options for which you qualify and then find the one that's just right for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, all you have to do is go to rocketmortgage.com/android. That's rocketmortgage.com/android. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support. That's rocketmortgage.com/android. All right, we got a jam-packed hardware block. We kind of already started with it too, but let's get into some more. Going hands-on with the Fochi?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
The Fochi?
Yeah.
Okay. Fochi.
So this is a little... Guy?
No, be careful. Be careful where you go with that, because it could go in bad directions.
I see what you did there. Yeah. Fochi.
Fochi.
So it's called the Fochi because it's a wearable that boosts your focus. And I'm actually wearing it right now. And I actually did get buzzed at the beginning of the show.
Really?
Because I started to space out a tiny bit and it started buzzing me to get back into.
It was like,
wait a minute. Where is it buzzing you?
So you're supposed to clip it on your waist.
Okay.
It's on, it's touching
okay,
my
belly. Okay, so it's like a Fitbit. So it's like a
my
Fitbit.
Belly right now.
All right.
So this has been on my belly.
And it buzzed okay. you. Is it it's kind funny. Of like a what, like a dog fence, electrified fence butt? Like, is it a zap or is it just
kinda,
a vibrate?
It's a little vibration motor. So this is a Fochi. Right now it's a Kickstarter. It's not actually like a full-fledged product. This is an alpha version of the product they have sent me to test out. But the reason I was very interested in it is because, you know, since I've become a freelancer, it is very important to me to kind of learn about focusing techniques. And so
Fochi.
Oh, like maybe focus. It is Fochi. You know what? Oh. I should have probably asked their PR. Excuse me, how do you pronounce the name of your product? And I'm sorry, I did not do that.
I feel like when you have a product that could be mispronounced, you should prep the PR people should be like, pronounce Fochi, you know, like,
The first things first. Yeah.
Regardless, at first I thought this thing wasn't working. I was like, it's an alpha like device. This isn't working. Like, this is frustrating. But then I used it today and I'm actually really disappointed in myself. For how much apparently I don't focus. I'm really bad at focusing. It's really embarrassing. It's really embarrassing.
So does it know when, like, if you're easily distracted? Is that
so?
Like,
what
how
does it from what I understand, like what I've been reading about it. So again, I'm pretty new to the, it's still a Kickstarter. You know, this isn't a review of the product. This is right. just like Flo kind of used it for a while and is curious about how this is going to work. So from what I understand, it studies your cognitive states and your breathing patterns to tell what's going on with you. When I'm having a really anxious day, my breathing patterns are a lot faster, they're a lot shorter, and so like the anxiety is more palpable, and this thing totally could tell that I was like anxious today. It was kind of freaking me out a little bit. Like, you know, if somebody's like tattletaling on you, you know?
You know too much.
Or giving you the insight that you signed up for.
Good point, Ron.
It's doing what it's designed to do.
I'm gonna put it back on me, and maybe I shouldn't tell you guys. I'm just gonna tell you, I've actually been clipping it to my underwear because the clip doesn't open enough. It's like really hard to get around my pants. Okay.
Just as long as it stays in place. Yeah.
Just giving you, this is a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
The Kickstarter went live last week, and they're actually, like, apparently they're fully funded by now. Oh my gosh, come on, get on. I'm having, like, the toughest time. Okay, there we go. I got it. Okay, it's touching my body right now. So, it has to touch your body so it knows how you're doing, okay? Just, it's a very intimate product.
Yes, it's true.
I feel like, make you more anxious that it was telling you you were anxious? Like, did it?
Yeah,
you know
what I mean?
Like,
loop.
Is it going to, like, a Heisenberg thing? Like, when something comes, like, when you observe something, it changes the state of it. That's kind of interesting. I don't know.
Ah, that's a
well,
good question.
It didn't make me more anxious because I was wearing it. It just made me more aware of, like, the fact that I was maybe spacing out or, like, focusing too much on not, like, it can tell when you're focusing. It's really crazy. Like, it knew when I was writing emails. This is really embarrassing.
Well, but then it corrects you by buzzing. Mm-hmm. And
it buzzes for a while.
Is that distracting, or does that actually clue you to
it's focus
again?
It's supposed to make
again.
You go,
oh! Oh!
Well, so what were you doing when you were losing focus? Were you just, like, staring out the window, or were you, like, what were you doing?
Staring at the window, staring at your phone. Like, a couple times I was grabbing my phone, like, oh, I don't want to focus. Like, I'm okay, I'm going to, who's on Snapchat? And then it's like, what are you doing?
Snapchat is not allowed.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Go back to what you were doing. The only thing that I'm still kind of learning is the app. So the app, the interface is interesting. There are little prompts that pop up to kind of like offer you some help. So this told me that I was focused for 22 minutes during the show today. Let's see, we've been filming the show for whatever.
Yeah,
okay,
a little more than a half an hour.
Whatever. So, focused 22 minutes. And I was distracted for 6 of those minutes. And
so one of those was the ad.
come back to us, Flo. Show's not over yet.
And so it offers me like a little labeling strategy. So what it's going to do is it's going to walk me through how to like put out my, it's talking right now. So let me.
It takes us almost half an hour to refocus.
I don't know if you can hear that.
Yeah.
Try to pin down these internal distractions.
So it's like a little coach.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to walk you through that. It's like a multi-screen process. And then this little orb. Ah, shoot. Let me turn down the. Sorry about that. This little orb. There we go.
There we
now
go.
You can see it. This little orb changes colors. So it's yellow when you are focused. It is gray when it's like not really sure what's going on. And then it's supposed to see the app is still feels very like alpha. It still feels like a very alpha product, but it's supposed to bring up my timeline. Oh, there we go. That's my timeline. Actually, I was hitting the wrong thing. So this is what a timeline looks like. I only have 1 day of data. So, I was, 100% more focused than yesterday when I wasn't wearing this at all. And this shows kind of the track of, me focusing. So around 1 p.m., I focused for about 13 minutes and 56 seconds.
Congratulations.
Lordy. Yeah, but that's out of the whole hour, which is like, man, Flo, what's going on with you?
Some people don't focus at all in an hour, Flo.
That's true.
What I like about this app is that this app is giving Flo some insight into what it's like for me and Jason.
Oh, geez. Yes, I guess it's true. I guess that's true.
This is fascinating. This is really cool.
There are a couple of other colors as well. So when you're free from tension, I believe you will see a blue state. So I was blue right around the time I was starting to go do my makeup, which is very interesting. I guess that's
your moment of zen.
It is, yeah. Though. I do go to the makeup mirror when I need to kind of like whatever, meditate. It's an art form.
Uh-huh.
If you've got attention fatigue, it turns purple, which indicates that you are focusing too much, which clearly is not my problem.
At 5 p.m., the beginning of the show.
No, that's gray. That's gray, actually.
Oh, that's not purple.
Yes,
okay, gotcha.
No, that's gray. And also, it tracks stress so that you know. But I haven't seen. Oh, it goes red. It goes red when it identify stress.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't stressed today. I was just anxious. So I was thinking about everything I had to do and it got that down.
And so, okay. So you're armed with all of this information then. What do you do with that information to change things for the better in how you manage your life then? What can you do with that?
You've got to be really present. You've got to become really present about the log and the data that you've sort of accumulated, and just really take that into consideration. Like, why am I only focusing 13 minutes out of the hour? And what the app does, it's supposed to help you. It's supposed to coach you through that. It goes, you know, why maybe you're feeling yellow because you're really anxious about everything you have to do, which is why it suggested that I do labeling, because labeling is a form of stress reduction. It kind of helps you get your thoughts in order so that you know what you're doing. What we're seeing in the video quickly on that just passed is every prompt will offer a couple of answers that you can enter in. So it'll ask, like, why are you distracted? And you'll tell it, like, I'm thinking about too many things, or I'm really worried about something, or I'm not in a good mood today, stuff like that. And then it kind of logs that data for you. I imagine over time that data becomes, like, just the breadth of data that you collect becomes super helpful. I really want to use it to the point where I start to see all the different colors, and then I'm going to start analyzing what's going on and sort of taking it from there. And is it the fact that I'm stressing out too much over all that I have to do? Then I need to go find a resource to help me work that out. So it's a little thing to help you get on that path. You know, it's a very small little thing that you clip on your underwear.
Interesting. And it's a Kickstarter, so there's still time for you too if you want.
Yes,
a Fokey.
So they are fully funded. They were fully funded in 5 hours. Went live last week on June 6th. But if you still want to get one, you can, and I believe it's $65 US if you'd like to get one.
Okay.
And I believe it only works on Android. I know that they have iOS screenshots, but from what I remember, this was an Android-first device. Or perhaps it was the beta that they were telling me was Android-first. But
okay.
Doesn't matter. Impressive. This is all about Android.
Looks impressive, you know?
It's different, for sure.
Yeah.
It really... Have you all ever heard of, like, the Pomodoro technique? It's like a productivity technique. Yeah. It reminds me of that, because aren't you supposed to, like, track, like, your productivity and, like, kind of, like, note whether you're distracted or not? It feels like that, but, like, kind of like a holistic, like, your whole life, rather than just, like, you know, 25 or 5 minute segments, I forgot what it was, but yeah.
And I think also the use of the little dongle, the little Fitbit, like, you know, kind of device takes the, to your point, the Heisenberg kind of principle aspect of it, like having to acknowledge that I'm not focusing, like having something tell you that you're not focusing, I guess gives you a little more focus in that regard, that you got to snap back and get back to it. Like a third party kind of observing you. And so that's interesting, as opposed to self-discipline, which I know a lot of people have a hard time with.
Well, and self-discipline can be difficult when you're worrying and anxious every day, and to kind of have like this data, maybe, you know, if you're working with a therapist to kind of help you with cognitive behavioral therapy, you can bring this data in and then you have more concrete data to work from. And it's not prohibitively expensive. I mean, if they're going to keep it the $65 price point, like I can imagine other wearables of this type sort of coming out. And I really like this product space. I'm really interested in it. I like anything that kind of coaches me and helps me figure out what's going on inside my brain.
Yeah. As long as it's based on something tangible.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really curious to know how they're rating this stuff. Obviously, I mean, you're saying that it matches your experience today. When it's saying you were stressed out, you actually were.
My breathing patterns.
They're doing something. Yeah. There's the sensor is doing something and correlating it at least to a certain degree appropriately. I'm just curious how that works.
Also, it only works while sitting down. So, it doesn't work if you're standing up, and they say it's because when you're engaged in postures other than being seated, your body movements often create excessive data noise,
interfere
with the diaphragmatic respiratory signals, which is what it uses, which is how it knows, because my breath is short, that kind of thing.
Got it.
It's really fascinating.
Interesting.
And it's non-invasive. Like, I don't have to puncture myself to get this information.
I mean, you're attaching something to your underwear, but if that's okay with you, then.
Listen, I work from home, okay?
All right, we'll keep us posted on that. Awesome stuff.
All right.
Ron, okay, we got like four things in hardware in a short amount of time, so let's rattle.
Well, let's stay very focused here. Yes. Okay, so let's say you're a big, you're a hardware company that raised a lot of money, and a lot of people were really excited about your products, and then they were disappointed about your products, and then there were rumors that their owner was going to sell the company.
That
also,
never happens.
rumors that you were going to cancel your next phone and that you were focusing on cool devices. You really want your next release to be what Essential is doing, which is their next hardware release is a magnetic 3.5 millimeter headphone jack.
Cool.
This is the first new product or module released by Essential since the phone launch last year. It is an audio adapter HD and has a high-res ESS Saber DAC with audiophile grade amp. It's got a titanium build, and it means that you can charge and listen at the same time. All right, so there you go. And also, this little dongle or this little add-on qualifies the Essential phone for MQA, which is Tidal's Master Quality Authenticated Lossless Tracks Verification. So I guess they're going to try to position themselves with Tidal for some reason. Who knows? No cost for the attachment yet. But, man, good job, Essential.
Tidal? Interesting. Tidal.
Well, yeah, you know, a lot of the high-res phones or whatever, like Tidal's one of the bigger high-res services. You got to pay extra for it. And you actually can get a level of quality that's higher depending on the DAC that you're using. Yes. What I'm curious about on this is that the Essential Phone mod, if memory serves, is not a direct data connection. So just because you're connecting it with the Pogo pins doesn't mean that that data is traveling through the Pogo pins directly. It syncs up the mod via Bluetooth, or at least that's how it worked with the camera. And so if this is a high-res DAC and you're talking about high-res audio, is that Bluetooth connection enough, or does that take it down in sound quality a notch in any way, shape, or form, or maybe it lessens something else that I don't know about? I'm not saying that it does. I'm just curious to know, you know. I think audio purists would want, yet again, you know, as they say time and time again, as relates to the physical headphone jack.
That's what LG thought.
Yeah. What's that?
That audio enthusiasts are enough to...
Oh, to have a product around? To target it to?
They've got money. We know that. So,
All right. Well, it's good to see that Essential has another bag of... another something in their bag of tricks, I guess. We'll see if they have anything else. Any BlackBerry fans are going to be excited to hear that there's a BlackBerry Key 2 that was announced. It's actually very similar in design to the Key 1, though some meaningful upgrades. Snapdragon 660 processor, 6 gigs of RAM, up from 3 gigs last year. And from what I understand, I didn't really get a chance to play with this phone very much myself, but from what I understand, the older one had a lot of slowdown with the BlackBerry Hub because the Hub was managing so much stuff. And so the idea is that with this doubling of RAM and the better processor, it's going to make that Hub integration a little smoother. So, you know, BlackBerry fans love their Hub. 3,500 milliamp hour battery, slightly smaller, by 5 milliamps, so hardly smaller. Dual 12 megapixel sensors on the back, f1.8 aperture, and starts at 650. That's up from 550 was the starting point last year. When was there ever a time in your life where you were a BlackBerry user, or did it begin? Did the sun rise with Android for you?
Oh, no, I was a BlackBerry user, but I wasn't a typical one. I didn't have kind of like the old school, like kind of like power executive BlackBerries. I actually had a BlackBerry Storm, and that was my first smartphone ever. I can't believe I just said that. There was a BlackBerry Storm with the gimmick was like that clickable screen where it had like kind of like a small pressure button.
Yes.
That was my very first smartphone ever, and I loved it. And I think there's this kind of like, I remember as I was kind of growing up, you know, I had a few like relatives that were kind of like power executives and they had their BlackBerry. So they always, you know, there was always that kind of image of like BlackBerries as like kind of the device. And I remember being a little bit sad, you know, kind of in that middle area when, you know, people like, you know, we kind of lost BlackBerries a lot. And so I'm excited to see it. It's just so interesting because it seems like they've kind of popped back up into the space a little bit late. I mean, like, are there any diehard BlackBerry fans from like however many years ago that was that are kind of willing to come back? And 6 gigs of RAM, my goodness, that's like really on the high end of devices. And I think only like even like the Pixel 2 and the iPhone X have 3 or 4. So just like, wow, it's kind of.
Yeah.
Seems like a lot.
We're seeing more and more of that. 6, even up to 8 gigs. I think there was a phone recently. Maybe it's even the OnePlus 6.
It makes sense for the OnePlus 6 because OnePlus is selling to a very enthusiastic crowd. But for the BlackBerry, it just feels like if the Hub is slowing down, it should be pared down. Or it should like the
No more memory.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, well, why don't you optimize the app so it doesn't require like so many resources? If it's gonna be and then put a smaller battery in there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
It's basically the same battery. It's like 5 milliamp hours smaller.
Whatever.
It's hardly, it's technically smaller, but it's so close that it's basically the same thing. But I totally get your point. Yeah, and I agree. But, you know, there are still people out there that want to see the BlackBerry physical key thing continue. And the Key One was not a failure.
But I couldn't use it. It just didn't work with long nails.
Oh, well, that's a good point.
Not taking that bait.
Not cutting my nails.
So you got the next one.
Phone I don't have to cut my nails for. The Moto Z3 Play. I'm assuming won't need me to cut my nails. It was announced. It's a 6.01-inch, 18x9, 2160x1080 SAMOLED display.
Super
AMOLED. I like to say. Yeah. Super AMOLED.
You know that Sam OLED.
No notch Sam-OLED. Here because we don't really know Moto for the notch. A fingerprint sensor on the side, which quite honestly seems like a better idea than putting it on the bottom as in previous models. And I feel like they should have done that in the beginning. Swipe gestures with custom gestures, as Moto is known for. Once Android P hits the phone, though, Motorola will reevaluate their gesture approach. So those of you who are fans of Motorola's gestures, who knows what's going to happen? Yeah, I mean, who knows what's going to happen? 3,000 milliamp battery. It's sold in an unlocked bundle that includes a magnetic snap-on battery pack at 2,200 milliamp size. And it goes for about $499 USD for 32 gigabytes, which makes it slightly less than the OnePlus 6, which is $529.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
I think not a whole lot of excitement generated from a Motorola phone announcement.
I like the price.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
I like the Motorola stuff.
I'm surprised it's not. I mean, where's the Verizon branding all over it? Where's the big red buy this phone?
Well, is this a Motorola announcement or a Verizon announcement? That's why.
Oh, actually, it's going to be sold with Sprint and U.S. Cellular. You can also buy it unlocked at Amazon.
Oh, there's the fingerprint sensor on the side.
That would have been weird if there was Verizon branding then.
Yeah.
Right. I like it. It looks very thin. The one thing I like about the Z3s is the thinness of the device. I know that's, you know, it changes when you add on the packs on the back of it. It gets real thick real fast. But when you don't have one on, it's a real nice slim phone.
Yeah.
Well, if you need another phone, LG's got that covered for you. We can move on to our next last bit of hardware. The LG Q Stylus lineup was announced. I know Flo was waiting for these ones. Three versions were announced, each with stylus support, although noted not as advanced as the S Pen from Samsung, but still, stylus is there. 6.2-inch full HD plus display with 18:9 aspect ratio, 1.5 gigahertz and 1.8 gigahertz octa-core processors, 3 to 4 gigabytes of RAM, 32 and 64 gig storage, IP68, running Android 8 Oreo, and no pricing. It's going to launch in North America at the end of June. So if you like LG and you want a stylus phone, there you go. Yeah. Does this impress us more than Motorola?
I don't know. I mean, the stylus is. I think these phones are kind of definitely targeting the more mid-range area, and I think this is just a good option for someone who wants the stylus functionality but doesn't want to pay through their nose on a note, which is going to run you a whole lot more than this. It's almost twice as much. So good alternative, but you don't get as expansive of functionality on the stylus. It's maybe more of a pointing tool than it is like integrated into the OS on a deep level.
An extra finger, if you will.
Yeah, very thin, pointy finger. But yeah, I think that's all we got.
All right.
Hey, y'all wanted new phones.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
I don't know if these are your new phone, but there's somebody's.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break and thank our next sponsor, our last sponsor of the evening. We want to thank LegalZoom for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And listen, it's June, about halfway through the year. It's time for a mid-year check-in. If you're like everyone else, you have a few things left on your to-do list for 2018. That's why LegalZoom is extending their friends and family discount to everyone right now. That's amazing. That means for a limited time, you can get 10% off the things you keep putting off. If you're a small business owner, you can make your accountant happy by saving on your LLC, DBA, S-Corp, and more. You can also save money wrapping up your last will or living trust before you go on summer vacation and never come back. No, before you go on summer vacation, because listen, if you're going to, you know, you never know what happens. You want to be protected. You want to protect your family. You want to protect your loved ones. LegalZoom can help you do that. But listen, LegalZoom is not a law firm, but don't worry. If legal questions are holding you up, their network of independent attorneys can provide advice for your business, your estate plan, and more. So accomplish the things you need to get done at LegalZoom.com and save 10% with LegalZoom's friends and family discount. Enter promo code AAA in the referral box at checkout. The offer is available only for a limited time. So hurry to LegalZoom.com now and enter promo code AAA for 10% off. LegalZoom, where life meets legal. LegalZoom.com, enter promo code AAA. And we thank them for their support and helping us with our legal needs and protecting our possessions, our family, our business, everything. Thank you, LegalZoom.
Thank you, LegalZoom. All right. And with that, we've got some apps to talk about. And I don't know if we have an app necessarily to talk about yet, but we keep hearing that
it's coming. It's like this looming shadow.
There's this shadow that seems to spell the word podcast, and it's an app that's coming soon, apparently, from Google. Google Podcasts.
Wait a minute, maybe Android P is podcast.
Oh, yeah, and the logo has like the P is made of
podcast like, pie,
a headphone yeah. that's more yeah, like the a RSS DJ logo or something. Or
the whole yeah.
Google's been talking the last couple of months about how you know they've been kind of had some public posts and everything about how they want to redo how they approach podcasts on Android. So this kind of falls in line with that. It also falls in line with the fact that Google Play Music is going away. May it rest in peace.
Not yet.
Its days are numbered.
Well,
it knows it has an EOL. You know, on the horizon.
I don't think it appreciates you calling it that quickly. I think you need to let it, you know, enjoy.
Let it enjoy its last days. All right.
It's unfair to Google Play Music.
That's true. I'm hurt. I'm hurt on the inside. It's hard for me to hold it in.
People are hurt. Yeah, it's true. I mean, anyway.
I don't know how to deal with this pain. So basically, Google app version 8.7 shows code that mentions how to, quote, get the Google Podcast app in the Play Store. There's a couple of lines that kind of allude to this. So it's not hiding it very well. Podcast capability might actually be embedded into the Google app on all phones. The app itself would simply act to summon it. So similar to what we have with Lens and Assistant, right? Lens is embedded in a certain way in the Google app, but you can get a Lens app in the Play Store that basically is just an easy way to summon it, essentially. And I don't know, are we hopeful that Google can do it right this time? What do you think? Did you ever use that? Because I know you've been on Android a long time. I'm sure you're familiar with Google's old Listen app. Hmm.
Yeah.
Do you remember that one?
I do. I have to put it up like straight up. I'm a total Pocket Cast person.
Yeah.
I love Pocket Cast. So I feel like from that perspective, I've kind of, you know, I've been abandoned ship a long time ago emotionally.
Yeah. Yes.
and the last thing, the podcast in Google Play was kind of, I mean, I was so excited for that. And I remember kind of looking for it when I heard it was like released and I was like, that it? So I unfortunately have a high level of criticism and kind of skepticism. And I think a lot of it is also the fact that I feel like, it's kind of a pain that a lot of us that are kind of big podcast nuts have felt, you know, and that, you know, we've kind of had to find different solutions in the space. So I'm always a little kind of skeptical when they're like, hey, we're coming back and we're going to do it right this time. I don't know. I feel like my personal entropy on switching to a new podcast app is kind of high. But we'll see. Like if it can integrate like with other parts of the system, I was thinking, oh, well, if you can like just easily search and find the latest, you know, episodes of your favorite podcast just from like the Google app or something, maybe that integration might be something. Or maybe I guess it depends on like, I don't know, like I need to see more. I am highly skeptical, and you'll have to take Pocket Cast away from me, like from my cold dead hands. So I don't know. We'll see though.
It's so funny because I have the exact, like if you asked me, I'd have the exact same answer that we're so loyal to Pocket Cast and great job, friends of the show. Just, you know, Russell was previously on the show a couple of weeks ago. But I have no faith that Google will get this right. I just none. I don't know why. Like, for some reason, my gut is that they're going to do it in some way that makes it not like the panacea that all podcasters hope happens to get millions of listeners. Like, I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, that ship has kind of sailed a little bit. And they'd have a lot of undoing in order to make that happen. Unless they're able to tie in features that really set it apart from the other podcast apps. And that's where I think Google actually has a chance. And we talked about this on the show a few months ago. If they're able within this app to get search down to the point to where, like, they already know how to pick apart audio and turn it into transcripts, you know, voice to text, and they do a very good job of that. If they can do that with all podcast content to the point to where, using their app and their setup, it's easy to search for a topic within podcasts and jump to it and that sort of stuff, those are features that I think anyone that listens to podcasts would totally appreciate and want to use. That ends up being kind of a Trojan horse to get people into there, but you know, then it also has to support all the other things that we use apps like Pocket Cast for on a subscription basis, and we're so accustomed to the way our favorite podcast app does those things, it's hard to think about undoing that all.
It's tough because I feel like the killer app feature is to be able to subscribe and listen and you know, and that's what it needs to do, and so many of them can do that, and Pocket Cast does it well. And we're so loyal to it because it just works and does it well. And I feel like Google's going to try to, you know, do something around discovery or do something around like record, you know, you like this podcast, try this one. I don't know about you guys. I'm backed up on podcasts to listen to. Like, so it's like, I don't know what the solution for Google to do is. That's why I'm so, you know, skeptical. But
yeah.
All right. You know who's also skeptical? One of the biggest
spectacle.
You know who's also skeptical? One of the biggest sports leagues in the world, the Spanish soccer league La Liga, is skeptical of people using their app. They have an official Android app that's using to monitor users to track piracy. This is based. La Liga is like Major League Baseball in Spain. When, you know, all like Barca, Barcelona, and Madrid, they all play in La Liga. And the feature says protect your team. And its purpose is to detect fraudulent transmissions. And with the user's consent, so they're not doing it secretly, it's with consent, they can use the device microphone to analyze local audio. And if it matches with the La Liga match being played, compares that feed to the GPS data on the device to see if it's been authorized. They say they do not store the audio, only happens in Spain, and nobody has access to the audio fragments. So, I mean, this is sobering because a lot of people, you know, don't want apps listening to them and identifying illegal streams or whatever, but La Liga's justification and the team's justification is that you pirating that stream of that game is costing them money. So they're going to take efforts to counteract that. And I would not be surprised if we see this in the MLB app and the NFL app and stuff like that somewhere down the road, where some use of the microphone to pick up whether you're watching legally or illegally, you know? And you know, cause those broadcast rights are, that's where these leagues make their money.
Yeah. I'm curious to know, what the big target is here. I mean, I realize it's piracy, but is it like a bunch of people, you know, have this app installed, whether they realize that they have done it or not, they've opted in on this feature, so it's constantly kind of sampling audio streams through the microphone. They go into a pub that has a broadcast of these games on. Is the goal, like, is the goal?
Sorry, you just teed that up for me.
No, I'm happy you caught that. I'm disappointed in myself that I didn't. But I mean, is the goal there then to crack down on those kinds of places, or just random people that have the app installed themselves?
Once they have the app and identify an illegal stream, then what happens?
Right. What's the next step? Yeah. And they have GPS locations, so they know, oh, it's, you know, Bob's Pub and whatever.
I mean, then they work with the provider. And you remember when Time Warner was sending torrent letters to people?
Yeah, yeah.
Saying that we know you're torrenting and don't and that sort of thing. Like, they could, you know, it gives them options to identify who's doing it.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're saying it costs them more than 150 million euros in losses for these streams. I don't know, but that's a good point. I don't know what it then does. It says, I don't know. It doesn't actually say what it does with this data, so that's weird. But yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you guys think, Flo? When do you think even with an opt-in, this is cool? I'm not getting anything definitive.
I mean, there's an opt-in.
Yeah.
It's opt-in. Yeah, I mean, that's, I guess, the big question is, even when it's opt-in, like, there are, it doesn't just affect them, right? Like, it's sampling audio from anyone that happens to be there. They're saying that, you know, nobody's listening to these things, but it's just,
Just to clarify, it is the streaming app of the service. So it's the app that is streaming the game. And so they're identifying whether or not you have legal or illegal access to it. You could stream the game if you have a VPN that's spoofing it, or you're not a paying customer. Like, it's listening to the audio on the app itself. It's like their streaming app.
I couldn't figure that out. I couldn't figure if it was just listening to the room for a stream of some sort.
What would they do with it? But then wouldn't they know the data is coming? Oh, I guess because maybe, okay, so if you're using a VPN and you're saying I'm in another region and I'm spoofing it and I'm streaming it because now the blackout works or whatnot, but they know you're in the region where it should be blacked out, boom, they know it's you and that's where you are, and then they can follow up and charge you or something like that. I don't know.
Maybe. Or if you're using a VPN, that stream is going to hit you with a little bit of lag or latency that they could...
Or shut it down.
...potentially determine, if it's lagged and, you know, that much, maybe that's not official. Yeah, I guess we don't know exactly what's going on here. Yeah. But it's definitely indicative of where we are right now, the fact that we all walk around with computers in our pockets that are amazing spying machines, basically.
I just feel like it's
We'll get that into the arena. Stay tuned.
I just feel like it's the World Cup. Just let us watch it. Why does it have to be so dang hard? Because you just want to... I get it. You want to monetize. This whole thing is to make a bunch of money for your brands, your football clubs.
We're in a world where brands cannot tweet the word Super Bowl or Olympics Super Bowl and Olympics will charge for that. They own that term. You can't use the hashtag. Like, this is the direction it's going. The combination of monetization and copyright and brands, you know, people trying to leverage off other people and brands putting their foot down and using technology to enforce these ridiculous things that limit the way we use and talk about things.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right, a couple of emails before we get to the arena. Flo, you got the first one. Go.
First one, this one's from Benjamin. Benjamin says, I've been a listener for years and I'm hoping to tap into yours or any of your past guests' connections with Google, and especially the Maps team. So anybody who works at Google, hope you're listening. Here's my beef with Maps. Maps gives a great feature that lets you add stops and make a route. But here's the catch. Google only lets you put in 9 stops. This is brutal, and I'm lost as to why Google has kept this fantastic option so limited. Can any of you possibly pass this on to someone at Google who could help? There's a 3-year-old thread about this very topic on Google's own forums, and people there have been pretty much given up hope. I've included the link to that thread below. Thanks for the show and continued entertainment. Many laughs over the years.
Thank you, Benjamin.
Could
you talk to the people at Google for me?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
They're the
get in touch with your friends.
Yeah,
friends of the show.
I mean, first of all, I don't have that kind of connection. second of all, it is a frustrating thing, and I say this as a person who used to meticulously plan out her trips post-college, all of my international trips. I would plan everything was a walking tour because that's all Flo could afford, was walking in the bus. And so that stuff really came in handy. Google Maps really came in handy. It is a little frustrating to only be able to do 9 stops. I did look through the little Google Maps and Earth Help forum link that was sent over. It's really just a long page of people complaining.
I've seen those forums before.
Which makes total sense. Somebody offered the link to mapped.me, which offers waypoints for Google Maps and allows you to get directions for a route with unlimited destinations on the way, even on mobile. So if you are okay with kind of a third-party way of doing it, that's a suggestion in the Google Help forums. Otherwise, you know, I guess it's only 9 stops for you wherever you're going.
Yeah, I guess so. That I've never once pushed up against the 9 stop limit, but everybody has a different.
Where's your sense of adventure?
I was aware of this. I've heard this. I forget the. I think I was looking at some sort of going to someone and set up a Google Maps of a location or something like that, and they're like, because of the 9 stop limit, here's 3 maps or something. You know, like it's weird. It's random.
Yeah. Well, anyone on the Maps team, because I know you all listen to this on a weekly basis, think about it. Maybe this is the first time you've heard this, but it's time for you to change this once and for all. All right. Mike K. writes in to say, I just wanted to say that on the last show, someone said YouTube Music works with Android Auto. We showed the photo of it.
Yeah, I was sent in.
It says, this is somewhat misleading. There is no official YouTube Music app. It just shows what is currently playing, and you can skip to the next track. If you want to look for new songs, your playlists, et cetera, that sort of stuff, you have to use the phone, which is dangerous while driving. I just want to let you guys know so people don't get their hopes up. This is one of the main reasons I can't leave Google Play Music because I drive a lot for work. It's a really good point. You want to be able to. Well, how deep do we want those interfaces to go when it comes
to
managing?
We need voice commands.
Yeah, and that's part of Android Auto, right?
Yes,
I'm curious to know if that's integrated with
you. You need full voice commands, and you need the ability for it to want to listen to you when you're in Android Auto.
Okay. When do you have any experience in Android Auto? This is like an angle of Android that I feel completely clueless on because I just don't have a head unit.
No, and it's just kind of the same thing. They're expensive, and so usually what we do is we just use the app. Like my husband has just like the little visor mount and just uses like the mobile version. So no, it's
same.
It's
cheaper.
I need to get in the habit of.
But
using
if it but if it's an app that doesn't work in the Android Auto, then I just won't use it in the car because I just can't.
Right.
It's already hard sometimes to use Android Auto.
Yes.
Quite frankly, on the phone on the 5-inch Pixel.
Right.
There needs to be a safer way to drive, people. We need like a little clip-on mechanism like this Fochi that like just beams directions to my head. I don't have to look at any heads-up display. You know, that's what we need.
You need to wear a Google Glass, and then when you're driving,
I feel like that's still too distracting. I don't want any screen in front of me. It needs to be screenless.
Oh man, I remember when I went to Google to get fitted for my Google Glass. Because I got it in that first wave, and then getting in my car, wearing Google Glass to drive home, and getting my notifications up there, I was like,
"That's
this is the future."
No,
this is the future. Yeah,
as you veered off the road into a ditch,
this is the future. And then I woke up from that dream.
Who responded to my Evite?
I need to know all of these things right now. All right, let's do it. Let's get into the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Last week was episode 372, twit.to/AAApoll372 was the place that you went, or so we hope, to vote for your favorite app from the episode. And it looks like in first place, of course, because goats are always a ringer when Mateo's on. Crossy Goat, a okay game, wins at 37%.
It had ads, too.
It had. Yeah. You know, you got to pay the bills.
That's the power of Mateo.
Dang. Okay, Crossy Goat wins with 37%. It is the power of Mateo.
It is.
Second place, Marco Polo Video Walkie Talkie.
Hey, that excites me.
31%. You weren't that far behind.
It's a good app.
Third place, World Cup 2018 app. Was that the name of it?
Uh-huh.
App, yeah, soccer. Sorry.
Yeah, soccer. Yeah.
There were a lot of really great names of our apps last week. Yeah. 16%. And then fourth place, almost there, but not quite, 3D Stereo, 15%. Although I did hear from one person on Twitter who said, I made my first one and it was awesome. And you know, if I reached even one of you, then I'm happy.
That's what matters.
With my poor designed app.
All right. Well, so those results give us, after 23 weeks in the arena, Flo, you are in fourth place with 46 points. Jason, you are not that far away from her in third place with 48 points. I'm still in second place with 61 points, and the guests continue to be sitting in that lead spot with 68 points. So let's see if we can hold on here when, you know, like this is no pressure.
No pressure at all. So wait, so who was the winner again?
That was
okay. So who's the returning winner?
The closest winner was Flo.
Okay, so Flo, right, you're going to go last.
Okay,
Jason, you go first. I go second.
I will go first, and I'll try and show this off because it's a little complicated. I feel like it's an app that I was made aware of this morning as I was looking through, and I was like, oh, this is like an app with a following that finally made it to Android from iOS. And so I selected it and I spent a good amount of time with it. And it's definitely an app that requires some solid time. Like, I feel like I'm only just beginning to kind of understand the flow of it. Anyways, what is it? It's called Notion. And apparently this is a productivity app that has been out on iOS for quite a while. It's a the kind of app that allows you to either use it on a single, like for just you, for organizing how you plan your day and for preparing for projects and all this kind of stuff. But it also can work on teams and kind of with a wiki style approach. But it's got a kind of an interesting workflow to it. So I'll do my best to kind of show it off. Back to my content that does exist. I know it does. There we go. All right. So I've set up a workspace here. This is Notion in effect. It's free for personal use. There's also a $4 a month personal plan, and then there's, I think, an $8 a month business plan where you can get into teams and everything, but I'm just showing off the free version. So basically, you can set up any number of pages around whatever you want to do, right? So I've got my workspace, and within my workspace, I've set up a weekly agenda. There's a quick notes section if I want to have a place for notes, an office calendar, some other things here that I was just kind of picking randomly. And as I embed them within my workspace, if I go to my workspace, things are kind of laid out in an easy to use way, right? So I could tap on weekly agenda. It takes me through to here, and I can organize my week within the calendar here, add to it as need be, and that sort of stuff. Quick note is another example. You can format this. I think kind of the benefit of this is if you have a little bit of organizational skills, you can format this any way you want. And the benefit of that being that if you want to come up with a system that makes you really effective in completing these projects or setting things up so that you can reference them later, you can really go to town and do all sorts of things. And a lot of these things that you're looking at here are just examples of ways that you can set them up. You can create subpages within pages that take you to other places to create lists. So in that sense, it takes a little while to kind of really understand the flow of everything that you have here. An office calendar where I could embed items within the calendar. If I had this shared with other members of my team, we'd all be kind of contributing to a similar workspace, adding contents or adding kind of conversations within these so we can, you know, send notes to each other within all of these workspaces. You can customize how it looks, that cover, the emoji right there, which I'll go ahead and do my standard emoji. There we go.
Nice.
Yeah. And so I've got it all embedded within my workspace, right? If I wanted to add something from scratch, I can go add page. I'm given a blank template, but then down here you see all of these different types of pages that you can get into, and they have kind of created these templates for you so you're not starting from square one. Coding guidelines, go ahead and jump in that. It gives you a kind of a visual sense of what that template looks like, and then from there you can just decide to use it. It brings it into your interface, and now you can change this however you want, but this acts as kind of a starting point for you so you know how you can format things and keep things kind of dialed into this style. It's really powerful, and like I said, I feel like it requires more time than I was able to give to it today, but everything's super expandable and super customizable. So if you've got a sense for organization around projects and you want kind of a platform with which to build your organizational sense into and really kind of make your own, this seems like a cool kind of playground for that, so to speak. So you can kind of make it your own and really kind of set it up however you like. How are you most effective? And, you know, customize it and make it enjoyable to kind of live in from a project perspective. Worth checking out, at least to see if it's going to make you more productive over time. It's called Notion, and I'm sure I'm missing some components of this. It's Notion, Notes, Tasks, Wikis, and it's just a great kind of place to, you know, store information for reference for your teams or manage your own personal workflow. It's called Notion, and there is a free version. I mean, it's free to install it, and everything that I've done and shown off is free. So check it out for yourself. See if it makes you more productive.
Cool.
All right.
Well, Jason, you and I were vibing because it's a productivity, another productivity app here in the arena. Yes. For what I got for you. Although I want to caveat this one that whenever you're recording someone's voice, you should always let them know and ask permission. In fact, I think you're legally obliged to. But the reason why I say that is the app I'm showing off today is called Otter Voice Notes, And what it is it's a productivity app that allows you to record your conversations. And the idea being that you can take your phone to a meeting, hit record, and just let it listen, and it auto-transcribes as it's doing it. And also does a transcription after you're done with it, so you can go back and see what the notes are. So if you don't like taking notes, or you get more involved in the conversation, you can tell you how many meetings I go to, and you're like, I'm pretty sure they said this. Now you can keep track of that.
Do I need to set this up? This was a setup thing that. Okay, so how about I'll do the setup.
Okay, before I'll set this up though, it's got to learn your voice. So you hit record, and then you say the sentence that it's telling you to say. So let's let Jason do that.
Okay, everybody, tune in, lean in, and check this out. Hi, Otter. My name is Jason Howell, and my occupation is podcaster. I found out about the Otter app from Ron Richards. And?
Well, you can hear it. My
occupation is podcaster. Yep, that's right. Me. You heard that already. Save? Save this recording.
Save the recording, yep. Okay. All right, so now once you've done that, you get into the app, and it's going to be – it should show in your notes there. Hit the second icon from the left, the little bugger there. There it is.
First voice print.
So if you tap on that, you'll see that and you see the little moving icon to the right. It's processing that transcript. So while it's processing that transcript – by the way, this takes about a minute. I timed it. It wasn't that long.
Okay.
But if you back out while it's doing that, we can go back to the home screen. And back again, or the home on the left side.
Oh, yeah, I got it. Sorry.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. And so basically it wants you to do that little recording as much as possible. So it'll come up, you know, because it learns, it teaches you. This is the free version of the app. You can see here on the dashboard, you get 600 minutes for free, and that resets every month. If you are going to use this for productivity purposes, you can hit on Get Otter Premium, and it's $9.99 monthly or $79.99 annually, which whenever you see an annually fee, this is productivity. This is, you know, kind of workplace kind of app. But so if you go back from the premium and hit the record button.
Okay, sorry.
Yep, just hit the record button. And now let's say we're in a meeting and it's just going to be recording what's going on here.
I'll get you that TPS report on Tuesday.
Excuse
Ron.
Me, does anybody have black coffee? Does anybody have black coffee?
Only with cream. That doesn't make
any
sense.
Get that out
sense.
Of my face. I don't it's want black, that in my face.
Black coffee. I apologize. It doesn't make any sense. Don't fire me.
Okay. All right. So there you go. So it does do live machine learning kind of transcription as of there. It's not going to be perfect, but it will process that transcript after it's recording to clean it up as much as possible. But so there's your first voice print that's all done, and there it is.
Wait a minute.
It didn't quite get podcaster. It said podcasts, which is true, but you know, but everything else is spot on.
So this is automated transcripts?
Yeah, automated transcripts.
There's no person on the other end waiting for me to...
Nope. It's completely... Yeah, no, there's some poor person in Bangladesh.
I'm sorry. Wow, this is pretty neat. So 600 minutes.
So then what you could also do is if you tap on the little two people icon to the right of the record button, you can create a group. And what that allows you to do is invite other users so we can make an All About Android group, and we can record, you know, our meetings and have the transcripts available so you can share them and all that sort of thing. So, yeah. So that's pretty much it. If you go into the settings, you can adjust the stream audio with Wi-Fi if you want. You can adjust the record with Bluetooth. You can say where to store stuff on the device. You can set a storage limit because audio files can get pretty big. You know, do the usual stuff. You can re-record your voice print. But yeah, the more you use it, the more it learns your voice, and then additionally, it also differentiates your voice from other people's voices. So, yeah.
All right. So here's the breakdown of our meeting.
Yep.
Good. I'll go get you that TPS report on Tuesday. Me. Does anybody have black coffee? Oh, anybody have black coffee? Only with cream, that is black. My face black coffee. I apologize. It doesn't make any sense. Don't fire me. Okay. All right.
That said, I've yet to see any machine learning voice transcription that's 100% accurate. But in this context, like, even 95% accurate is enough to give you enough to go back to your desk and work of what you need to and whatever.
Totally.
This could be great for doing interviews. This, like, you know, there's a lot of options of how you could use this app. Once again, let the people in the room know you're recording. Don't do this surreptitiously. Put it on the table. Say, I'm going to record this conversation. Is that okay with you? And if they say no, don't record.
Right.
So there
right.
you go. Otter. For free in the Google Play Store.
That is really interesting. And it even pulled out keywords.
Yeah, I was just going to say, go back. Yeah, it pulls out keywords. Yep.
So it can, like, tag them and...
Apologize.
Every time you did a recording, and Tuesday comes up, because Tuesday is pretty important.
That's the other thing. The search is amazing. So like if you bank a bunch of these and you're like, oh man, when did I talk to Jason about notches? And you can type Jason notches and it'll find all the conversations.
It'll find every single episode of All About Android. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really neat. Otter Voice Notes.
Otter Voice Notes. That's totally free in the Google Play Store.
That's a great pick. Otter Voice Notes. All right. When I have, or I thought I had, I will have your app installed. It was one of those moments I totally set it, triggered it to download, but apparently it just didn't. And sometimes that seems to happen. I will install it. If you want to kick it off, I'll get it installed here and I'll show it off.
Absolutely. So my app is the Choisi finger chooser. So I think this is a play on the word Choisi, which is French for pick or choose. And so basically what you get is a selection screen where two or more people can place one or more fingers. And it basically just randomly chooses number of fingers. And so I actually have to shout out to Chuki. She and her husband introduced me to this app because we play a lot of board games together. So there's often a who's going to go first. So basically everyone in your group can put a finger on, and after like a few number of seconds, there's going to be a really like kind of delightful like whir, and then all of a sudden, boom, it'll just pick one out of the, you know, multiple fingers that you have. Yeah, you probably have to do two fingers, but after a few seconds, it will choose one of the fingers that it detects on the screen. Yeah. And it's actually pretty cool. It's really handy. It also is very customizable. So if you have like a group of four people, you can actually set how many fingers to choose. So if you're picking like two people out of 10 to get coffee, you can actually change it to be, how many fingers you want to choose. And you can also do groups. Like if you have a group of people and you're like, I don't know, playing a kickball game and you don't want to go through that, hey, like last to be picked at kickball, you can just say, I think you can go into settings and configure how it chooses fingers, and it'll actually divide all the fingers it detects into groups. So it's a pretty simple app, but it's kind of delightful. It's really customizable. It's got a group mode, finger mode. Yeah, and it's kind of just, you know, it's colorful and delightful. And I think it can detect up to 32 fingers. Although, of course, your mileage might vary depending on how many fingers you can fit on the screen. But yeah, it's just kind of this like delightful. Yeah, and there you go. So you can divide up, you know, just divided into blue fingers and green fingers. So
that is so cool. I love it. Wow, this is one of those apps that like I didn't know I needed, but apparently I do. Like this is such a great way.
Way better
to, like,
than picking straws. Yeah. I always hate picking
Rochambeau.
Straws. Oh God, yes.
Yeah. And like it's really funny because people will start to kind of game the app, which I don't think works. They'll like kind of like double tap or just like kind of try to be last or pick their finger up and like to see if they can trick Choisi into picking them. But it's a really great app. It's colorful. Yeah, I love the noises. Like we actually have used like picker apps before, and it's usually plain and just kind of like simple. Oh, at some point someone's finger will be highlighted, but there's this kind of really cool like noise. There's some anticipation and excitement about who's going to get chosen. But yeah, we use it all the time for board games and just kind of any situation where we had to pick someone to do something. We Choisi.
That's so cool. That's great.
Who's going to start? I don't know. Should we Choisi? Is that what you say?
We should Choisi. That's exactly Choisi. Choisi. Yeah.
All right. It's time to Choisi.
Chuki's husband is French, although the name of the app, I don't believe that's how it's spelled in French. So just Choisi.
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 Love it. That's great. Great pick. So different. I love it. Choisi, Chwazi, if you're searching in the Google, in the Play Store. You can find Choisi, finger chooser. All right. And finally, Flo with her app after returning as the victor this week anyways.
Second Victor. But yes.
The returning
one. CleanShare. That's the app I brought to the arena today. It's a very, very simple app. All it does is it removes all of the ugly stuff from link codes, so you don't have to worry about keeping yourself tracked and all that stuff that goes on the internet. It's incredibly easy to use. All you have to do is launch it, and it is installed. I believe that you can edit this, but I'm not going to even bother with it because I don't even know what I would change. This is running in the background. Let's say we're going to go shop on Amazon. Lord God, help me with what you show. Let's see. let's see. Let's look at this circular saw, okay?
Oh, no, not a circular saw, Flo.
We got to cut some lumber. We're building houses.
Can I borrow it? Because I actually need a circular saw.
Yes, actually.
Okay, good.
So, you know how you can go on Amazon, and where's the share button? Why am I always missing the share button? Here it is.
There it is.
I talked to Amazon about that user interface. So you just go down to clean share and two tracking parameters have been removed.
Oh.
And then you could just share it with whomever.
And then it opens up another share dialog so you can pick where it's sharing to.
Yeah. So that's it.
Nice.
And it works with any app. And by the way, Google doesn't use trackers. So that's nice.
What do you mean?
I was testing some links today. Google doesn't use trackers.
Oh.
Some of the Google links, not all of them.
That's so hard to believe.
But well, like Google Maps, for instance, doesn't. I tried to make a clean share. But yeah, that's what you would use this for. It's also helpful if you like open a Slack link and it takes you to like a website. It's got all those trackers. And, you know, if you're like clicking on a product link from a website, it's got all those trackers. You can do that.
So annoying trying to clean up those tracking links like manually. And you think you've got the right component, and then you reload the link that you come up with, and it doesn't work, and then you got to undo it. Very nice. That's super handy.
It's also very free, but I would suggest you donate. There's a little support link for donation.
Support your devs.
Support your devs.
All right. So then I am currently in the process of posting. Your shortened URL will not work until... now, twit.to/AAAPoll373 is the place to go. twit.to/AAAPoll373 to vote on your favorite app this week. Is it Notion, Otter Voice Notes, Clean Share, or Schwazi Finger Chooser? You can place your vote and we'll check in on it next week.
Oh, I knew Victor would do that.
Victor goes with the Schwazi.
You're going to use it for your kids, aren't you?
Yep. I don't always have a coin in my pocket.
Yep. But you do always have a Schwazi.
Schwazi in your pocket.
Yes. Is that a Schwazi in your pocket? Or
yeah. Whoa, anyway. Okay. Oh, dear.
Well, yes, it's a phone with the Schwazi installed. Okay, I'm done. Sorry about that. It was the... anyways, I'm just going
to
quit.
I didn't mean for that to go there.
I'm just going to quit now.
Lowest hanging fruit.
Unfortunately, and I just totally fell for it. When now, other than the very, very end of this episode, which I apologize for, it was really great to have you on the show today. And we really hope that you'll come back and visit us again. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for having me. Like I said, I've been a huge fan for a long time. So this is thrilling.
It's awesome.
And it's awesome. I'd love to come back anytime. Y'all are awesome. And just being here has just made my, was it Tuesday? It's Tuesday. Made my, yeah. No, wait, what day is it? Is
yeah,
it
oh, it's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
Last we checked.
Sorry, it's been a long week already.
It's okay. It can even make your week. We'll be okay with that. But let us know at the end of the week.
Made my week. For sure.
Where do you want people to follow you online? What do you want people to know?
Yeah, well, I'm on Twitter. I have a ridiculously long handle, Queen Code Monkey. And also, again, if you're an Android developer and you want to hear cool conversations with other Android developers and designers and product managers and just people who like to build Android things, please stop by our YouTube channel that I produce with Chuki Chan. And that is at youtube.com/AndroidDialogues. And if anyone is curious, and I don't know if Chuki mentioned this, I don't think she did, but Dialogues is misspelled in terms of the actual English word, but it actually is a kind of pun, a developer pun on like the dialogue windows that pop up.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yes. I feel like people have mentioned that to me before. It's like, it's a pun.
Well, that's good for the audio podcast. This is an audio podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's true.
Dialogues is spelled D-I-A-L-O-G-S.
Yes.
Not logs.
But yeah.
Logos. Logos. Yes. Well, when it was a pleasure, and yes, we have to get you back. We really have had a lot of fun to have you on the show today. So thank you, and we'll have you back soon. And best of luck with Android Dialogues and everything going on, Charlene.
Thank you,
Ron. What about you? What's going on in the Ron world?
Ron,
not much. Just trying to stay awake. That's about it. Trying to get through June. June's a crazy month, but
we'll get you to bed here in a second.
Yeah, no, well, that's all right. But it's can't believe it's Tuesday either. It's only Tuesday. But follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at RonXO. I haven't posted much nonsense recently, but there's not much going on. But there should be there's always cool stuff in the offing. So stay tuned. Complaining? Well, no, I try not to complain on Twitter that much at all. Actually, I've been actively in a flow, like mindfulness, kind of not bring negativity to the world. So cool.
You need a gadget to attach to your underwear. I think is the solution.
If it was a gadget, I could attach my underwear with a pop up camera, then I'd be all set.
As long as you're the only one that gets that camera, then I suppose. So. All right, Flo, what about you?
I just got back from Minnesota yesterday, so I'm all like,
the promised land.
Yes.
Yes.
Is that what it's called?
I don't know.
Anyway, I've never been to Minnesota. Was beautiful.
The land of lakes.
It very true. It was very beautiful.
And Prince.
Yeah. And what?
And Prince. Yes. Rest I was right outside of Minneapolis, so I was in Prince Land. Yes, yes, yes. It's true. Nice. But besides that, just follow me at FlorenceIon.com. I'm going to be blogging on my own little blog. I'm kind of just trying out things as they go. My blog is kind of there for me to practice my writing when I'm not working. So just kind of check in when you can.
Cool.
FlorenceIon.com. And someday I'll have a new layout.
Yeah, I like your layout.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, good. WordPress, too.
And Victor, thanks to you for keeping us on track and voting for your favorite app each and every week. Thank you for doing that.
No problem. This one this time I might actually use every day, though.
As Jeez, opposed to all those other
okay.
ones.
Yeah,
I mean, it's in the name.
Good. Well, I'm happy we were here for you this one time. You can find me all over the Twit Network, of course. You can find my music at yellowgoldmusic.com if you so choose, and all the streaming services, it's there. And then, as far as this show is concerned, I think that's kind of it. Voicemails 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us an email, AAA@twit.tv. Find us on Twitter. We're at Android Show. We have an Arena apps list. It has all the apps that we've ever covered, including this week, I imagine. twit.to/arena apps, or sorry, Android apps. Show notes and past episodes found at twit.tv/AAA. And by the way, if you're ever in the area, you can email tickets at twit.tv and stop in and watch the show live, like Paul from Atlanta, who's here watching and
makes us
feel important. Thank you for stopping by. It's great to have you here in the studio. If you can't make it to the studio, you can still watch live. Catch us on the stream every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That's it for this week. We'll see y'all next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.
Yeah. Bye.
Stay tuned for a poem. I'm serious. 'Oreo tasting. We do this each and every week. This week's a little bit different because I got a box shipped to us from Canada.
Oh!
I will say that this box was wrapped appropriately with the right amount of packaging around it.
The appropriate amount of packaging.
And inside the box was another box.
Oh.
And this box is from, is it Linus? Linus Chun?
Yeah.
Who
yeah.
says, to my favorite Twit crew, keep up the great work and love the show despite being an iPhone, Mac, iPad user.
Oh, Linus, you're my favorite.
That's the best.
Yeah, I know. We hear from a lot of people.
I love it when we get Apple people watching the show.
Totally. And you know what? There are a lot of Apple iOS users that are just like, we like the show regardless. So
yeah,
that's great. Cool. As you can see, it is its own box and it's very intriguing. At first, I was like, did he get us a subscription to that Oreo club? Linus did not. We won't hold it against you, Linus, but
it
you
does
did.
Cost a lot.
I mean, and I already know the ending, so I've already spoiled it for myself. But see,
Velvet. Oh, look at the red velvet!
Wow,
velvet! I know.
Is it red velvet Oreos in a red velvet box with a semicolon?
That would have made a lot of sense. Hold on. Oh, I won't open too far.
Wait, is it Oreos in Oreos? Since it was a box in a box.
Yes. What?
So I have not, Oreoception.
I have not read this, but apparently inside the Ballad of Two Oreo Cookies, and
it's blank.
Yes. It's so not. Holy cow! This thing is long.
This is a lot of words.
Okay, so I'm gonna rattle through it. Okay, because we got to do that. If you happen on Google and search to and fro, you'll will read of the legend of the Canadian Oreo. It's said that the taste, I say with some pride, is one that those stateside are unjustly denied. The cookie up north, some say, is a treat. More cocoa, more sugar, and an icing more sweet. Mm. A taste so amazing, so bold, and so grand, while America gets Oreos that are so much more bland. Look close at the package that are sold in the stores. Ours made by Christie Nabisco makes yours. And two at the contents, they're not quite the same. And this difference is probably what's really to blame. So dear Jason Howell, whom I have been told, took 32 years to finally finish Yellow Gold. And to you, dearest Ron, I dub the other Gina, who so cleverly cheats when he plays the App Arena. And Flo, dearest Flo, I cannot attack, despite that in secret, she blogs on her Mac. You savor these cookies I sent in the post and tell the dear viewers which you prefer most. I place in your hands to judge and make the call which side of the border lies the greatest Oreo of all. That is that's a fantastic poem. That was really great,
amazing.
Linus. And inside, I shall open.
Oh, let's
and
do
bequeath
it. It's the
to
Queen's
us.
Oreos.
Wow.
Ooh, they're original.
L'original.
Cool.
Oreo cookies. So, you know, you can't really go wrong, right? Except that apparently these are going to taste a little bit different. I don't know if I believe it. I don't know what that was, but. Anyway, I'm going to pretend.
It's Canadian. It's fine.
Oh, it's adhesive from the package. Okay. All right.
Always made with real cocoa, or in French, toujours fait de cacao véritable. I never learned French.
Perfect.
Of all the Latin languages that
Perfect.
I learned.
All right, Linus. We will taste your Canadian Oreos and put it to the test. Do these taste any different from American Oreos? Let's take a look, or let's take a taste.
Hmm. Here we go. The original gets a rating of a French Canadian.
I mean, they taste great. I don't know if I notice the difference, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, we had to do original with original.
Original's been on the Original's been on the record of being a 10. So the question is that do the Christie Le Originals measure up as well?
Go away, little hand. I will confirm, I did not know this about Oreo. It is Christie instead of Nabisco up north.
Wow, that's really yummy.
Yeah, it is good. I could not tell you in the slightest whether this is any different than the Oreo here. But I like it. And I like that you wrote a poem. So, Linus.
That's amazing.
I give you a 9.5, because there was a little grammatical thing up here.
Oh, jeez. Really?
That's amazing.
It was almost perfect, but man, I'm so impressed. I'm gonna like hang this on my
wall. These cookies are good, and I'm gonna give them a 10 just because they're not Nabisco.
Yeah. These are the best Oreos not made by Nabisco.
Exactly. Precisely.
There we go. Awesome. All right, little hand.
10.
You can take these away now. Oh, weird.
Did you guys know the makeup gurus, by the way, on YouTube have all been doing their makeup with little hands? It's like a thing now.
What?
You saw it here first.
That's true. We did see it here first.
Burke's little hands started that trend.